I am in
Uranus, Missouri. I don't know if this is an incorporated town or not, but it's one of these weird roadside places which is really leaning into the Uranus joke. Like, every single fucking thing in the town is a Uranus joke. Uranus Fudge Factory, Uranus City Jail. They're selling hot dogs to go in Uranus. This is episode 16 of 1F Jeff.
The number 16 is a perfect square and the only number that is both a square and a power of 2. In ancient systems, it was important for measuring time and space. And in the Mayan calendar, 16 was linked to cycles of days.
Hello, my friends. This is episode 16, and it's also the final episode of my road trip, or at least of this road trip. Because if I have my way, there will be many, many more. I drove 6,852.8 miles, flew 9,022 miles, went 172 miles by train, kayaked 1 mile, visited 15 states, 2 countries, 5 national parks, 4 national monuments, ate 7 bags of dried spicy mango, and, as you'll hear in this episode, got stuck in one massive traffic jam, not counting the ones in Bogota. And all in 50 days.
Your trip was 49 days, not 50.
I did the math, bing bong. It's 50 days.
You left on July 23rd, and you got back on September 10th. That's 49 days.
Fuck off, bing bong.
Okay, Jeff.
As I was saying, all in 50 days. I'm back home now. I'm mostly unpacked. I've put the magnets that I accumulated on my fridge and the stickers on my water bottle. Started doing yoga again and riding my bike, eating my own food, and getting some good sleep in my own bed, which has been nice. But I've also been struggling to get my brain to return to normal life mode. Perhaps because, in part, I don't have a normal life right now. I don't have a job, and I spend most of my time alone in my house while everybody else is working. This is part of the reason that I took this trip, to get away from this relatively solitary existence, but it was all waiting for me, of course, when I got back. So was the anxiety. So was the uncertainty. But I'm aware of it, and I'm trying to learn to just sit with it and remind myself that this is just part of the path. Thank you to my old and new Patreon subscribers. I love and appreciate you. I mean, I love and appreciate all of my listeners, but I love and appreciate my Patreon subscribers just a little bit more. So if you want that extra sliver of my love and appreciation, please do go to patreon.com/1fjeff and donate as little as $5 a month, and you will get access to all the photos I've taken on this trip and more soon. Finally, and as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Here's me on Route 80 in New Mexico. Okay, I'm in New Mexico. Just wanted to let you know. And with New Mexico comes a time change that I had kind of expected, but also wasn't really thinking about. So I'll be getting to Santa Fe an hour later than I thought, because it's now 4:48 instead of 3:48, which I'm not going to espouse in the nature of time and the universe and so forth and so on, but, you know, it was fun going west because, you know, you gain time, in a sense, and then going east, you lose the time that you gained. Isn't that just like life? Anyway, New Mexico is very pretty. A lot of, like, mesas, I think they're called, plateaus around me. Been on and off rain all day. You can see it all across the landscape, these showers coming down. And you hit them, and they hit you for a while. They dump on you quite a bit for a little bit, and then they just stop. Oh, there's one of those cubes that I referenced earlier in the podcast as well. Those cube cars, literally the ugliest car on the road. Let's see who's driving it. Yeah, it's exactly the kind of person I would expect to be driving one of those cubes. I don't understand what the appeal of that is at all. I hope you got a good price for it. This is Gallup, New Mexico that I'm stopping in, which, as the sign said, is the most patriotic small town in America. I'm not sure what metrics they're using to determine that. I actually don't see any American flags anywhere. Not that American flags equal patriotism, but oftentimes they do. But it is the most populous town I've seen in a long time. Part of the struggle of being on the road is like eating well and exercising. And I'm finding that both of these things have become rather difficult as I've been going. And I have to shit, but there's nowhere to fucking park at this gas station. And you can never tell which gas station's going to have the best toilets. And I really need to shit, so I don't want to go to like some bathroom that's going to have a horrible toilet to shit in. You need to have at least a good bathroom. This gas station's named Maverick. Just like the Tom Cruise's character in Top Gun, so you know. It's probably going to be solid bathrooms, right? Because Tom Cruise would never settle for second best. Well, there's no shitting for Jeff on the road today because stopped at Safeway, nowhere to park, went to Maverick, and the bathroom had nobody in it. But both of the stalls were locked. So I guess I will have to shit when I get to the Coyote South Motel in Santa Fe, New Mexico. In 3 hours. I think my colon can handle it. And I guess I'm not, I mean, I have a banana and I have a granola bar and I have some chips that I bought for some reason and some Trader Joe's spiced dried mango, which if you ever have a chance is incredibly good. One of the best snacks I've brought on this trip and I've been eating a shitload of it. So again, with Trader Joe's, that one's free, but the next ones will not be free. They'll be very, very expensive because this podcast is going places and you don't want to get left behind. Specifically, this podcast is going to Santa Fe, New Mexico. And then this podcast is going to take a shit. Sorry, everyone. This is a crude podcast. Yeah, I might have to stop again to try to shit because I'm not sure if I can make it all the way to fucking Santa Fe without shitting. But we'll see. It's a race against time now. It's a race against time. You know, I don't miss paper maps. Of course, you know, it's great that we have Google Maps to tell you how long it'll take to get there and exactly tell you how to get there. However, it is a bit infuriating when you are at one point 2 hours away from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Then you are 2 hours and 5 minutes away from Santa Fe, New Mexico. And then you are 2.5 hours from Santa Fe, New Mexico. And then you are 2 hours and 40 minutes away from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Like, it's like I'm going backwards, if that makes sense. Well, I have found the source of the issue, and, well, no, I haven't found the source. I'm just now stopped on Route 40, like a dead stop, and the map line is red. This is some of the first significant traffic that I found on this trip, so I can't complain too much, but the fact that there's now rescue vehicles coming up on the berm or on the median or whatever is not promising. Wonder if I'll ever get to take a shit. I just put the car in park because we are not moving a fucking inch. At least I got a full tank of gas. At least I have some food in the car. At least I have some drinks in the car. At least I have things to entertain me. And I am just watching the time until I arrive there just go up and up and up. Why did you just move ahead? The guy in front of me, the Dodge Charger, just like moved ahead 3 inches for some reason. Yeah, but nobody else is moving. So apparently this person thought, well, I'll get there much sooner now that I'll move. It's like the person at the traffic light that kind of inches forward. It's not going to help you get there any faster, my friends. I've been here for about a half an hour now. We moved a few feet. The guy in the Mustang next to me cheated along with a bunch of other people and just drove on the median, which I don't know how that's. Like, do people just get to do that? Oh, at some point while I was stopped, somebody, like, asked me to roll down my window, was walking around outside, as people do. And it became quickly clear that it was a deaf guy who was trying to indicate that I should move forward. But the reason he wanted me to move forward was so that he could drive his van onto the median and cheat as well. And that shit pisses me off, bro. I hope they all get arrested, but probably they don't. They probably get away with it and get everywhere faster than I do because they cheat. It appears as if the first accident was cleared off the road, but I guess there's another accident now, and we are stopping again. We moved about 4 miles, and now there's just another big streak of red in front of me. It's fine that this happened. It was bound to happen eventually, but could it have happened on a shorter drive day? Because at this point, I'm going to be driving on the road for probably 12 hours. It's saying I'm not going to get there till 10:30 now. My original ETA was 8. All right, this is not entertaining content, but I need to vent, so this is what you get. I'm going to return to wallowing in my own crapulence now. I think I was driving to Cleveland with my girlfriend at the time, Laura, years ago from New York for Christmas, and there was an ice storm, and we ended up being just stopped in traffic for, like, at least an hour. And so we just parked the car and pulled out my laptop and started watching a movie. It was a Coen Brothers movie. I don't think we watched the whole thing, fortunately. We might have, though, because we were stuck for a while. And then we got home that Christmas to my mom's house. It was the only time I brought Laura home for Christmas. It was 2008, maybe. And we didn't really have any money to buy Christmas gifts, and we hadn't really planned ahead or anything. So we just went to, like, Walgreens, I think, in Westlake, Ohio, on Christmas Eve and just bought a bunch of random stuff for Christmas gifts because it was the best we could do. I think Laura got my mom these wind chimes, these wooden wind chimes that she had up for a bit to be nice. But then I think after about a year, they were kind of annoying sounding. She had them in the basement for a while. And then I think I was home a while back and they were just gone. Anyway, there's a little traffic memory to help us all along in this time of need. While we're here, please subscribe to my Patreon page. Patreon.com/1FJeff. Okay, I've been stuck in traffic for now, I think, about an hour and a half. I'm not going to get to the hotel till about almost 11, it looks like. If I don't get to the hotel at 10, till 10 or 11, this will be a 13-hour drive today. So praise Jesus that tomorrow the drive isn't quite as long. I mean, there's many frustrating elements of this. One of the frustrating ones is that I changed lanes to the other lane because there was an opening. And then, of course, as soon as I did that, the lane I was in started to fly by me. So then I made the mistake of switching back to the lane that I was in a little bit later, and now my lane is going slow again. So I'm just going to stick in the lane that I'm in because, like, what's another 5 minutes when we're already... I mean, I've literally watched the sunset sitting on the road, barely moving, in New Mexico. And I was hoping to see that happen in Santa Fe, but I guess that's not going to happen. So it goes. I just realized that I'm actually on Route 66 in this massive traffic jam. So I guess that's interesting. But I am not getting my kicks on Route 66. I am getting my patience and my bowels tested on Route 66. Hallelujah, we're moving now. The national nightmare is over. I did just pass the last part of the accident that they hadn't cleared up, and yeah, somebody died for sure, because the car that I saw didn't even look like a car. It was like a twisted pile of metal. It was torn to complete pieces. I am in Santa Fe, New Mexico, the oldest state capital in the United States, believe it or not. Look it up. Boston is number 2. Also has the oldest church in the United States. Who knew? Not me. Until I talked to a guy at the restaurant I went to tonight. And yeah, so talk to people, learn things.
You're talking about the San Miguel, which was built in the 1600s, early 1600s. And it's more like an adobe structure. And cool. It's the oldest church in America.
No shit.
Yeah. And they still do on the oldest street, oldest house, yeah. It's the oldest street, oldest house in America. They claim that shit, you know.
My drive from Las Vegas was 12 hours today. I left at about 10, and I arrived at about 10. So that was exciting. Longest drive of the trip, for sure, 12 hours. And hopefully I got the bad traffic karma out of the system, because I cannot do that again. I had a wonderful salad at the restaurant I went to for dinner. And speaking of which, so I went to this restaurant for dinner, and I was sitting at the bar and having my salad, and I had an old-fashioned, as I do in every city that I've kind of gone to, just to see how they do. So far, I'll be honest, Westlake, Ohio, best old-fashioned I've had in my life. True story. True story. So sitting at the bar, and this guy next to me starts talking to me, lives in Santa Fe, who's been here for like 10 years. He grew up in Texas. Works as a bartender, loves to snowboard, told me about all the ski resorts. And then a guy sits next to me on the other side, and he, a really interesting guy, lives in San Jose, California, which, as we all know, I've been to.
He's a dentist. He has invented a new toothbrush with three heads or something like this. Kind of contorts to the vibe of the tooth, I guess.
I'm actually inventing a product. I'm inventing a new toothbrush.
No shit.
Electric toothbrush, yeah. And I'm actually going to get I'm a year into it now already, but I'm getting a prototype hopefully the next month.
Yeah.
With the engineer I'm working with. It's like Swiss Army needs a toothbrush. So it's like an electric toothbrush, but it has a three-headed brush that rotates on, like, then going through a car wash. So it has a three-headed brush that as you go along the arch of your teeth.
Oh, I see.
You kind of go through on the surface. And then on the flip side, there's a floss mechanism. And then there's also a tongue scraper on the top.
Oh. Tongue scraper, a good idea. I probably should be. I have one, but I just haven't used it too much because let's be honest. Like, dental care is a pain in the ass. So, like, I floss once a day. And
oral health is, like, one of the simplest things to do, but one of the simplest things to overlook.
The rot comes in through the mouth, as they say. Yeah.
Interesting guy. Like, adopted a child from India, I think. Grew up in Nashville. His parents immigrated from India to Nashville. People you meet. Anyway, so we're talking. He's talking about this toothbrush, and I mentioned that I do video and podcasting, and he was like, oh, can you do marketing videos? Blah, 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 blah. I was like, yeah, I've done marketing for Hollister and blah, blah, blah. And so who knows? Maybe there's work there because he needs somebody to do marketing for his toothbrush, which honestly is never a thing that I would actually say that I wanted to do, but like, I'm into toothbrushes. Like, I have an electric toothbrush. I have issues with it, and I'd like to see what you can do. So I could promote that in a way that would make me feel okay about myself. Anyway, as I'm driving home, I get pulled over. The place is about 10 minutes from my hotel. I get pulled over. And mind you, I've had one drink, and I've been driving all day. So whatever. I pull over right away, and the guy's very polite. You know, I get my license and all that. And he said that I was, like, swerving or something. Like, he said I was weaving into the other lane, which I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. Maybe he saw me as a Mark from Ohio who had just pulled out of the only restaurant/bar that was open in the city at this hour. Who knows? I tell him I had a drink, you know, and he said, you can smell it in my breath. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he wants me to do a field sobriety test. And like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Yeah. So I do. The only one he has me do is the washing his finger thing. And I'm watching his finger go back and forth. And honestly, like 4 minutes of this finger, like you're staring at a tip of a finger without my glasses on, which was also difficult. But I guess I did it good because he was like, very nice. Just go back to your hotel. No worries. No harm, no foul. So, yeah, that's good. I mean, I wasn't really concerned. But also, whenever you get pulled over by the police, it's a little bit concerning, right? You know, you see the red and blue lights and you're like, uh-oh. So anyway, second interaction with the police on this trip, positive. Dude even shook my hand at the end. Oddly positive. Wonder if I could have gotten him to do an interview for the podcast. Might have been pushing my luck. So that happened. Santa Fe so far is very nice. The elevation's very high, so I'm a little bit like short of breath. But boy, I am tired. And I did, for those of you keeping track, I did poop. So you no longer need to worry. I'm fine. I'm tired and slap happy, and I need to go to bed. That's all. It is Friday morning. Friday afternoon now. I only had a little time in Santa Fe, but it's kind of what, you know, it's what you expect. It's one of the oldest cities in the United States. Went to a church with a bizarre, like, this weird spiral staircase. It was honestly a ridiculous tourist attraction, but like there was a sign outside that says, as seen on Unknown Mysteries. So I was like, sign me up. But there's like a spiral staircase in this chapel that has no visible support mechanism. So they believe that the person who made it in the 1800s, I guess, did it with divine energy or something to that effect, because it doesn't structurally make any sense. Guy at the restaurant/bar last night told me about it.
If you want to go to one of
probably an architectural wonder.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're an architect or not, but the Loretta Chapel is right up here.
Okay.
It's called Loretta Chapel.
Heard about it.
And it has a miraculous staircase.
Yeah.
There's not one nail on that staircase. So the engineers, they can't even figure out how it was built.
Huh. Yeah, I'll check it out tomorrow.
And it's an old ancient story of the nuns praying for someone to come build a staircase for the choir upstairs in the church. Yeah. And it's an old school, man. It's like, it looks like a European church. It's in the middle of Santa Fe. It's the Loretta Chapel.
Yeah, check it out.
And back when we were kids, I would run up that staircase.
Me too.
When I was 5 years old, I'd run up that staircase, dude.
That's awesome.
And now it's blocked off. You can't get on it. You can't touch it. You can touch it, like,
right.
Go check it out. It's a wonder, man. That
yeah,
church.
I want to wander around
and
that town.
It's an old Catholic church, dude.
It was fine. You know, you look at it, you take a picture, and you can't walk on it. So who knows if it's actually structurally sound, right? Maybe it's all a lie. Also, San Jose is the third biggest art market in the country outside of New York and L.A., which feels right because you're there and it feels very, there's art everywhere. Lots of art galleries, lots of art shops, and it was a festival weekend. There's some music festival going on in the main square this weekend, so it was particularly crowded with vendors and people selling their wares and arts and crafts and stuff. But it is kind of cool, though, that all the houses are very much, and all the buildings seem to all be done in that, like, adobe single-story, kind of sandstone-colored, curved edges. What do they call that kind of architecture?
Santa Fe is famous for its Pueblo Revival architecture, which blends Native American and Spanish colonial styles. Buildings are often made of adobe, sun-dried mud brick, or finished with stucco to mimic the look, featuring rounded edges, flat roofs, and projecting wooden beams called vigas. The style emphasizes earth tones that blend with the desert landscape, giving the city its distinct cohesive character.
Like, every building looks like that. In the city, when the hotel I stayed in did not look like that. So, not all the buildings, but a lot of them do. And it's a very small town. Like, there's only, I think, 80,000 residents. I would have liked to do a walking tour to learn more about San Jose, or Santa Fe. God, I keep mixing those up. But I do not have time, and I'm honestly not feeling fantastic this morning. I woke up with, like, a runny nose and some congestion. I'm not sure if it's because of, like, elevation, or we're at about 7,200, 300 feet here. Yeah, but I'm not feeling my best today. Feeling worn out. I'm feeling a bit lonely and over-traveled. Like, I wish I could stop at a place for, like, a week or something, but I just can't. I gotta get back. You know, as I've said, I would like to get a job where I could travel and, like, work remotely all over, but, you know, I also wonder about how lonely I would get. Perhaps I wouldn't get so lonely if I was staying in the same place for a long period of time and got a chance to, like, meet people. That's kind of probably the key, is to stay in a place for, like, a month or something and just meet some people. This is very much Native American land I'm driving through, because all the bridges have Native American words on them. There are also an incredible amount of marijuana stores in Santa Fe area. I'm even looking at one that looks like a Native American cannabis store, Whoa Povey Cannabis. I think it's probably got the most cannabis stores that I've seen. I mean, Vegas had a lot, like, but they're warehouse-sized ones. But, like, I saw probably, and I was in... Yeah, I hear you. Did you hear her? All right, enough. Shh, quiet. Yeah, lots of cannabis stores. And I was only there for about 24 hours. So if I saw probably 10 cannabis stores in less than 24 hours in Santa Fe, not even 24 hours, maybe 12 hours. Was I there only 12 hours? I got there at 10, and I'm leaving at noon. So I don't know. God damn it, everybody's taking my gas station. All the pumps are being used. God damn it. All right. Okay, I've almost driven 5,000 miles. Not quite there. 4,999.5 right now. 0.6. It's a very exciting moment. Anticipation is building. Now 0.7. What will happen? 0.8. Killing me. Anticipation. 0.9. And... 5,000 miles. Ba-ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba. 93 hours and 26 minutes behind the wheel. Average speed, 54 miles per hour. And I am now in colorful Colorado, as the sign welcoming me to the state said. Colorful Colorado.
It is colorful.
It's also raining. To my right, you can see the mountains, but it's basically like you can barely see them because I think there's such a bad storm happening over there right now. It's raining a little bit now, but I don't think this is the brunt of the storm. And there's some kind of surrounded like storm clouds, stormy looking clouds everywhere around me for the most part. So we'll see. This will be interesting, but I am now in Colorado. How many states is this? I have no idea. I should count them at some point.
Michael Jack used to live in Aspen, Colorado. He was kind of an outlaw, you know, very unique guy. Moved out to Colorado when he was young and stayed out there for his whole life. Lived in a trailer for a lot of his life near the Woody Creek Tavern. The Woody Creek Tavern is where Hunter Thompson used to hang out, so he'd see him there quite a bit. Had some stories about him. I guess my dad actually spoke to him on the phone one time, which is pretty cool. I didn't really know who Hunter Thompson was until later in my uncle's life, so I didn't really get a chance. I think I talked to him about him once, but I was a huge Hunter. I mean, I am a huge Hunter Thompson fan, and it would have been nice to hear some of those stories, but he has passed. He has gone on to the next phase in our cosmic existence, whatever that may be, as has my father. Perhaps they're together with Hunter Thompson in whatever Woody Creek Tavern is, and wherever we go next. Perhaps they're all there together.
Okay, so I'm at Sand Dunes National Park, and yeah, it's pretty rainy. You know, I have the national park pass for this trip, so I thought, well, might as well go anyway. I'm at the visitor center, but I don't think I'll be walking around too much. And you really can't even see all that much. The visibility is pretty shitty. I mean, you can see the dune, or the big dune anyway. So anyway, best laid plans and so forth.
Great Sand Dunes National Park in southern Colorado is home to the tallest sand dunes in North America, some rising over 750 feet. Formed by wind and water over thousands of years, the dunes sit against the dramatic backdrop of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains.
It's pretty, like a giant sand dune right by the mountains, but you really couldn't see it very well, and like you really couldn't hike out to it because it was all wet. And now, like, I'm driving to Crestone, Colorado, and the weather is gorgeous. The sun has come out, and there's beautiful clouds over the mountains in the distance. It's one of these long, straight roads that you get out west that just don't turn and go on for miles. And it is colorful, so the sign was right about Colorado. A lot of green in the foreground, and then kind of blue-green mountains in the background, and then white clouds and blue sky. It's very pretty. Anyway, I am on my way to Crestone, Colorado to meet a podcaster, a fellow podcaster, who I've listened to for years, Chris Ryan from Tangentially Speaking. So yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting.
I am in the cabin in Salida. It's pronounced Salida, I realized, I learned. I'm at my friend March's cabin. It's very nice to be here. Crestone was really cool. Met up with Chris, had some beers, and then had some dinner with him. You know, it's nice to meet people that you've listened to for so long. Like, he's a rather popular podcaster, and it's weird at first meeting somebody that you feel like you know so well because you've listened to them talk. But then as you meet them, you realize that they're pretty much the same person. Met two of his friends who came out as well, and talked about Crestone. Crestone's a really interesting town. It's kind of like a weird, kind of crunchy enclave. There's some spiritual element to it that Chris mentioned to me.
Crestone, Colorado is a small town at the base of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, known for its unusual spiritual and cultural mix. Despite its size, it hosts dozens of retreat centers and temples representing traditions from Hinduism and Zen Buddhism to Sufism and New Age practices. The area is also notable for UFO sightings, hot springs, and its proximity to the Great Sand Dunes.
Like, there's a Hindu temple, there's like a Buddhist temple, there's like a Baptist church, there's like pretty much every single kind of religious practice you can imagine going on in this town of only 300 or 400 or 500 people. Very beautiful town too, up in the mountains. Really pretty. Chris seems to be one of the most popular people in town, or seems to know everybody in town. As we were sitting there drinking our beers, he'd point out that guy, he'd be like, oh, that guy is the commissioner, the city commissioner. Oh, see that guy over there,
went to Juilliard and had Kevin Spacey's roommate. Oh, see that guy there? He is a Sasquatch hunter. He truly believes that he saw a Sasquatch in the woods around Crestone, and he continues to look for him. And on, everybody seemed to know him. So, also interestingly, I mentioned the Love Has Won documentary, the cult documentary on HBO about the cult that was headquartered in Crestone for a hot minute. Well, I mentioned that to Chris, and he's like, yeah, the woman who just served you your beer was in the cult. You probably recognize her from the doc. And then I looked back, and I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And she still believes in the cult, even after all that happened. That, like, the woman, no spoilers, but the leader dies because she was a abusive alcoholic who drank too much colloidal silver. And at the end, she tried to say, I need to go to a hospital. You know, she told the her followers who were taking care of her and following her every word. She said at one point, you know, maybe I should go to a hospital. And her followers are like, no, you'll be fine. Your mother God or whatever. Your mother God. Chilling, kind of, really, because she, I mean, or you get what you pay for, I guess, right? I mean, or be careful what you wish for or something like that, you know. You get my meaning. I'm looking forward to getting a good night's sleep tonight and not having to wake up at the crack of dawn to get in the car. Buenos dias. It is the 46th day of my trip. I woke up this morning to a text from Chris Ryan, who's the podcaster who I went and hung out with last night, tangentially speaking, if you're curious. He's been podcasting for like 13 years. He's got a lot of listeners. He, for a hot minute, he was kind of in the Joe Rogan universe, but this was a long time ago, before Joe Rogan turned toxic. He's had a lot of famous people on his podcast. I was happy to just, you know, meet the guy because I've been listening to the podcast for a while now. And it was kind of one of the inspirations for this podcast, to be honest. Anyway, I woke up this morning to a text message from him saying, you know, blah, 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 good to meet you. Next time you're in town, come on out and let's record a podcast together. I, of course, didn't ask him. We didn't even really talk about the podcast much last night, to be honest. Anyway, here's the lesson. Reaching out to Chris, we'd communicated a bit through email over the last 3-4 years. I realized I was going to be going through or near Crestone on my way up through Colorado. So I thought, why not? I'll just email him, see what happens. Who knows? And he said yes. He responded and said yes. And then, you know, hung out with him. And now he wants to record a podcast together. The power of asking. Maybe that's the lesson. Anyway, now I need to come back to Colorado because I would love to be on his podcast. It would be incredible. So now I got to figure that out. But boy, it sure made me happy. And it made me think about how, again, the podcast keeps giving. I'm not sure if I would have reached out to him if I wasn't recording a podcast. I'm not sure if I'd be doing this trip, frankly. In fact, I probably wouldn't be doing this trip if I wasn't recording this podcast. I kind of use this podcast as a justification to take this trip. I guess the lesson is, again, if you follow your heart, and the way your heart's pulling you, then shit'll come back to you. The universe will conspire to reward you for that. And over the last 3 months, this podcast has given me these things, has shown me this over and over and over. It's kind of incredible. And this is just one more example of that. So follow your heart, people. Anyway, in spite of the anxiety I have about getting back to my life in Ohio and looking for ways to make money and so forth, I'm feeling good this morning. I'm feeling like I'm on the right path of some sort, and I'm not sure where that's going to lead, but I feel like I'm doing something right today, and that feels good. I don't know where I am. I'm in Colorado, driving north to Colorado Springs, or maybe not north, maybe west. I don't know which direction I'm going. I should probably know which direction I'm going. East, I think I'm going. I'm going east. There we go. I'm heading east on some road in Colorado. And Colorado might be the prettiest state in the country, at least that I've gone through. I'm sure Alaska's great. I've never been. But driving through the Rocky Mountains is something else. Like, something else entirely. I think I mentioned Epic back in San Francisco, but this shit is epic. Don't have much else to say about that, but wanted to chime in and just give a shout out to the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains.
I am in Colorado Springs now at my old friend March's house with her family, her husband and her son, who are all lovely. I met March in college at Ohio University, probably in 1995, maybe 1996. Anyway, we've known each other about 27, 28 years, we figured out tonight. It's always great to see March. She's one of those friends who, like, makes you feel really special. And that feels good. I hope I make her feel special, too. You know, we lived together in a house in Athens, Ohio, for, I think, 8 months or so. It was 4 or 5 of us living in this house. Shitty fucking house. My room had, like, bees nests in the ceiling. So, like, one night I got stung by, like, 3 bees. That was weird. And then, like, there was a back stairway to go to the backyard that was, like, totally fucking dangerous. And I remember calling the landlord to, like, complain about it and say, can you please, you know, fix this? He was basically said, no, I have kids. I have to buy shoes for my kids. That's what he said. He said, no, I have to buy shoes for my kids, which that's well and good. I don't, you get, there's no need for me to respond to that. That's what he said, shoes for the kids. But me and March still laugh about that to this day. I don't know. It's just very nice to be on a trip like this and then show up at a place where you know the people and you know you're going to see friends and you get welcomed with such open arms. Like, my friend March was there, and then her son, like, who I have only met like one time before this, I think maybe 2 times. And the last time I really hung out with him was like 4 years ago, the last time I was here. And he remembered like the inside joke we had. It was very touching. We went up to Pike's Peak and he called me Pikey and blah, blah, blah. It warmed my heart. It's good to be here. So she asked me earlier, she's like, did you think we would know each other? Like when we were in college, do you think we knew each other? We'd still be friends and know each other now? And I was like, no, I didn't really think so. And I didn't think so, but I'm glad. And I said this to her, I'm glad that we are. So glad. I guess life just filters out the good friends from the bad friends. And I am fortunate to have, I guess, a good filter. Even though March said she didn't listen to my podcast, she listened to like 2 episodes. And she thought it was depressing because I was talking to other people and having these conversations with other people and it wasn't her. Okay, I'm going to bed. Hello, my friends. It's Sunday, September 7th, 10:57 p.m. This is the... Okay, I left on the 23rd. 1, 2, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And then 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47. 47th day. This is the, I think, 47th day of my trip. And if that's true, I will get back exactly on day 50. Is that right? Yeah, 50, 49, 50. I gotta still look into that, but that seems perfect. So at least that makes sense. Today, I felt kind of crappy when I woke up, honestly. But March and I went for a hike in the mountains and I didn't really want to go, but like, but then I also thought like, maybe I do need to do this, right? I need to do this. And so we did, we went and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful day. And it made me feel so much better. Colorado's just stunning. And you don't even have to hike that far. We only hiked like a mile up a mountain and just beautiful landscapes. So let that be a reminder to all of us of the therapeutic power of nature, because that shit's true. I needed that today. And then we came back and they did a cookout. And we ate dinner outside in the backyard. It was fun. And I'm leaving tomorrow morning for Dodge City. Yeah, I'm feeling anxiety about going home. About the trip being over in 3 days. I'm feeling anxiety about that. But when I think about where I was like four or five months ago, before I started doing this podcast, and before a lot of things started to kind of shift because of the podcast, I'm in a much better place now. And yeah, there's challenges ahead that I have to deal with, mostly financial ones. But I feel like I'm on the right path, and I feel like I need to trust that. I need to really trust that. And that's hard. You know,
it's hard to consistently do, I guess, is the thing, you know, because I think on earlier in the trip, I could certainly say like, I definitely felt like I was like feeling like I was on the right path. You know, I was like, I'm doing this trip now. I'm going to do the podcast on the trip and blah, blah, blah. And now, you know, it's all this up and down swing. Of course, you know, it's good and bad. We know it's all a swing, this life. We have good months, good weeks, good months, whatever. And then things go down a little bit and they go back up. Depends for everybody. Anyway, early in the trip, I was so gung-ho about a lot of things. I think in my head, I thought the trip, it all, of course you do, you imagine the trip. I'm not sure if I would have done anything different on this trip or not. The trip is what the trip is, right? It's not what it could have been. It's not what you wanted it to be. It's what it is. Yeah, I need to figure out what I need to prioritize when I get back and what I need to focus my energies on and how to spread that energy and actually keep up my motivation and all that when I get back to Columbus, because that's where I struggle is like, I get back into my house and it's hard to maintain the motivation to do things instead of like sitting in front of my TV or whatever. Anyway, today was a good day. Okay, good morning. Buenos dias, my friends. I'm on Route 50 going east, heading to Dodge City, Kansas. An old cowboy town, and I'm staying in a weird hotel. I just passed Paul Harvey Boulevard. I assume that's named after the former radio guy who said, page two, page three. So, page two. The road I'm on is not very attractive. I'm heading towards Kansas, in the very flat part of Colorado. The mountains are gone. They're behind me. And there's road work ahead. Page three. There's more construction, and we're down to one lane. Page four. I will arrive at 2:24 p.m., which is a half an hour before check-in time, so hopefully those cowboys can wrestle up a room for me a little bit earlier. Or there's going to be a showdown. Yeah, I slept well last night, having thoughts this morning of, like, what I am taking away from this 50-day journey I've taken. And, yeah, I think that this has been good for me to get away, get out of my house, get out into the world, experience life on the road, experience what it will be like, what it would be like, what it could be like if I do end up figuring out this digital nomad thing. Although I don't imagine I'd be driving quite this much if I was a digital nomad. I probably would be stopping. Ideally, I'd be just staying at places for like a month or so. But we shall see. Give me some time to think. Give me some air to breathe. A little bit of perspective. Yeah, I've reconnected with some friends and family, which has been great. Got to see Patricia again, which was wonderful. Got to visit South America, which I'd never been to that continent. So there's one to check off. And, you know, got to see the beauty of this here country, the United States of America. Enjoy it while you can, because it may not last. Feels like things are at a inflection point of some sort in this country, and I'm not sure what that inflection point is. And the craziest thing about this period of time right now is that, like, I'm a cynical dude about a lot of things, and sometimes I'm too cynical. And now I'm like, fuck, it's worse than I ever could have imagined. Like, he's getting it all done, and they're all letting him. So, maybe I was an optimist, too optimistic. Maybe there's a lesson there. I don't know. The amount of bugs that have died as a result of my windshield in the last 2 hours is pretty, pretty disturbing. There's certain parts of the country where there are more bugs than others, and this part of the country has a plethora of bugs. I need to stop at some point and clean my windshield because it's almost becoming hard to see out the front because of all the bug guts smeared all over it. It's quite something. And I think actually, sadly, they look like small butterflies that are hitting the windshield, flying through the farmlands here of I think it's just still Colorado, but boy, the bugs, it's a lot. And I'm sorry to all the bugs that have died as a result of my car. It's incredible to think about how many bugs die as the result of all the cars all the time, because it's got to be like a whole lot of bugs. But, you know, there are a lot of bugs. I did hear, like they've discovered 2 million different species of bugs, of insects,
but they believe that there's about 10 million different species of insects in the world. So 8 million yet to be discovered. That's a bit mind-blowing to me, honestly. Oh, there's another one. I mean, it's really like every minute or two, bug hit my windshield. And you can't wipe them off because it just smears them all over the place. Believe me, I've tried, and now I've got like bug smear windshield. It's fucking gross. Anyway, I'm about 2 hours from the from Dodge City. Ride has been profoundly uneventful so far, aside from the bug massacre, the ongoing bug massacre. A few times I've been able to like see the splatter, which is somewhat disturbing, to be honest. Sorry, bugs. Do you ever feel like a lot of your opinions are just someone else's opinions recycled? Like, how many of your opinions do you really think that you get from your own brain on your own by your, like, just that's it? As opposed to, like, how many of your opinions do you get from, like, something you read or something you heard in a podcast or whatever it is? And how many of those opinions that you heard on the podcast are recycled opinions, right? I mean, how many real opinions, real new and genuine opinions, like original opinions, are there in the world? Oh my God, my, I've hit so many bugs. So I have like, you know, adaptive cruise control, and I've hit so many bugs that apparently now the sensor is covered. Usually this happens when I'm driving in the snow and the snow covers it up, but apparently I've hit so many bugs that now the sensor is unable to see the car in front of me. So now I actually do have to clean the windshield off. All right. So I did just stop and cleaned my windshield as best I could, and the sensor for the cruise control. And it is a butterfly massacre in my grill. Like, there are I'll take a picture when I get to the hotel, but boy, it was gruesome. There were like butterfly parts all over the grill. There was just a whole butterfly wing just smashed on the sensor. It was surprising, but they are butterflies. They're little butterflies. That's what the woman who was wandering by as I was cleaning my windshield said. And so now it is nice to have a clean windshield again for at least a little while until more butterflies get massacred. I'm in Kansas, and it looks like Kansas. Pretty sure I'm going to be in Kansas for a long time, today and tomorrow. I mean, Wizard of Oz, right? Hope there's no twisters. Sky looks blue ahead, so I think we're safe. But it is interesting to think about how this, you know, for a long time, the Arkansas River, which I'm pretty close to at this point, and I believe I've whitewater rafted on a couple years ago, used to be like the dividing line between the Native Americans and the non-Native Americans. And you weren't allowed to cross it. Like, it was illegal to cross in like the 1800s, I think. But of course that changed. And now the Native Americans have been pushed to their little reservations where they get to keep their little part of the land that they discovered and founded first. Not founded, I was the wrong word, but you know what I mean. It's interesting, you hear those stories about how when, you know, Native Americans would like kidnap like quote unquote civilized Westerners or white people or whatever, when they would kidnap them, oftentimes they wanted to stay. Like when they would, you know, when the Westerners would get them back, usually the kids, but oftentimes I think adults too, would try to escape the quote unquote civilization to go back and live with the Native Americans again because they preferred that way of life. I have now driven for 100 hours or been in the car for, actually no, wait, it's only 99 hours and 59 minutes. Give me a second here. Can't be that long. Talk amongst yourselves. It's a long minute, this one. I'm starting to wonder if maybe it doesn't go to 100. Maybe it taps out at 99 hours and 59 minutes. Huh. Yeah, maybe it doesn't go to 100. Yep, I guess not. Well, I can tell you for certain that I don't know when it happened.
But I've been driving for at least 100 hours, and I've also realized what the limit of my elapsed time thing on my odometer is. So I guess we'll stop reporting on that, because that's no longer an accurate representation of time. Or maybe I'm in some sort of a vortex of time where time isn't actually advancing. It's actually just standing still, and I'm just living in an illusion of movement and time going forward, but actually I've gotten stuck in some Stephen King-esque time vortex. All right, we're about 30 miles outside of Dodge City, and on my left, or my right rather, is honestly, it's called something Ingalls Feed Yard or something, but like, there have to be hundreds, if not thousands, of cows. I've never seen so many cows, and they're all kind of cordoned off into their own little section of fence. I mean, they don't have a lot of room, each one of them, but I mean, I've never, that was, it just kept going and going, just rows and rows and rows of cows, cattle, cows, whatever. And on my left is another enormous amount of wind turbines dotting the landscape for as far as I can see, on and on and on. I'm wondering if this was all forested years ago, when like cowboys were like riding on this like trail to get to Dodge City, or if it's always kind of been just a wide open plain. I'm pretty sure it was more forested. It's not pretty, but it's also not pretty. So Dodge City, as I've learned, was an old Wild West town because it was on the like the cattle herding trail. They would herd their cattle up from Texas, the cowboys, and there was a rail connection in Dodge City, so they would always kind of herd them towards Dodge City. So as a result, Dodge City became like a kind of a cowboy hub in the Wild West. And there was, like, you know, lawlessness, a lot of saloons, gunfights, so forth and so on, apparently. Quite an exciting place back in the day. I'm not sure that it's going to be quite that exciting now, but, I mean, there's always a chance, right? Dodge City. Heading into Dodge City.
All right, so I checked into my hotel here in Dodge City. It's a strange hotel. There's, like, nobody here. I think I'm one of two residents of the hotel right now, at least based on the number of cars in the parking lot. The room's fine. It has a bit of a strong smell to it. Not a bad smell per se, but not a excessive use of cleaning product smell. Also learned that Dodge City, if you've seen the movie National Lampoon's Vacation, the scene in the old saloon when Chevy Chase says something like, "Why don't you wrestle us up some beers, you old knucklehead?" And he's acting like it's a big joke. And then the guy shoots him with a fake gun. Yeah, Dodge City. Also the setting of the TV show Gunsmoke, which I think I've never seen. The phrase, "get the hell out of Dodge," is also about Dodge City. The vibe of the city, at least what I've seen so far, is it's a weird vibe. It's a weird vibe. And this hotel is super weird. You know, there's a big open area in the middle. It's all indoors, but with a pool and like a basketball court and a volleyball court and like a saloon. But of course, there's nobody in any of them. And the pool has like a film on it that looks a little bit unfortunate. And the guy at the check-in counter was not a friendly person. So yeah, maybe I will understand. Get the hell out of Dodge before tomorrow, when I will actually get the hell out of Dodge. Good morning. Buenos dias. It is day 49 of my trip, the second to last day. And we're ending with a bang. The Dodge House Hotel in Dodge City is hands down the worst hotel I've ever stayed in my entire life. It is worn down. Nothing works. And it's just disgusting. It's gross. Even the towels are gross. The bars of soap they provide, I didn't realize that they can make bars of soap that are that small. And the shampoo is in like packets, you know, like a plastic packet. You know, usually there's a little perforation so you can tear it open without using scissors.
But no, not on these shampoos. These shampoos, what happens is you get in the shower, assuming you'll be able to just tear it open in the shower, and then you realize quickly while you're in the shower, which is randomly going from hot to cold, mind you, that you do need scissors to open up the shampoo. So you have to get out of the shower, find some scissors or something to open it with, and then get back in the shower to wash your hair. And I don't even want to discuss the smell. Broken lampshades. I mean, this place is a fucking dump, and it should be burned to the ground, and I have to get on the road. So that's all. I just wanted to rant about the hotel very quickly because it deserves it. It really does. When a hotel advertises that they have flat screen TVs in 2025, beware. I was going to get up early and go to like the Old West Museum or whatever the fuck it's called. But like, I don't get a good vibe from this town at all. I just stopped at IHOP just because I thought I can get a quick breakfast. And I sat there for 5 minutes and watched the waitress wait on everybody but me. So I think I'm just going to get the hell out of Dodge. Boom. Did it. Bing. I'm going to get out of Dodge. I'm going to try to find a cup of coffee, but I'm going to get out of Dodge and then hopefully find something to eat on the road. I'm already starting to question my decision to get the hell out of Dodge so quickly, because now that I'm out of Dodge, I see and I'm reminded of what Kansas is, which is a whole lot of nothing. Nothing personal to any Kansasites. Kansasans? Kansarians? What do they call Kansas people? Kansarians. I'm going with that. But like, there's not a lot going on in your state, except for corn. But I do have some dried mango, as always, so that's great. 7 hours to Branson. I hope I don't get genital warts. That was a reference to an earlier episode. A lot of callbacks here. If you do your research and you listen carefully, you'll get all my little subtle little callbacks. But if you don't, you know, then you miss them all and you're confused. So I suggest you listen to the entire catalog of episodes so that you can more fully enjoy this episode, or at least that one moment of this episode. I'm still in Kansas. I have always been in Kansas. I will always be in Kansas. If you've been to Kansas, if you've driven across Kansas, you can relate. And now, instead of the butterflies spattering all over my windshield, it is dragonflies spattering all over my windshield, which are more full of guts than butterflies, so it's a bit messier. Although not too much messier, just a little bit more gruesome. And I am 25 miles from Wichita. True dreams of Wichita. Still in Kansas, of course. Why would I not be in Kansas? I can't wait to say we're not in Kansas anymore. I just wanted to chime in here to report that I just saw on the side of the highway two giant, look like windshield washer fluid jugs full of, I can only assume it was urine. So just on the side of the road there. I understand your inclination to put the jugs of urine, get them out of your car or truck or whatever as quickly as possible. But like, you were clearly holding them for a while. I mean, like, you have two jugs. So there was one jug that was full, and you drove around with that for quite some time. And then you filled up the other jug. And that's when you decided, no, we can't drive around with this, with two bottles, two jugs, two windshield washer fluid jugs of urine in my car. I'm just going to stop right here on the side of the highway and put them nicely on the side of the highway for somebody else to clean up. Interesting, right? I mean, it's a strange... I've never peed in a windshield washer fluid jug or any real kind of jug that I can recall, aside from like the, you know, the plastic thing they give you when you're in the hospital and you're not supposed to get up. Not really a jug per se. It's like a pitcher. When I was living in Brooklyn, New York, my girlfriend at the time accidentally fed me a veggie burger that had walnuts in it, and I'm not sure if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I am allergic to all nuts, even peanuts, which I know is a legume, as everybody loves to point out. But I'm allergic to all nuts, all of them. And it's not sad, because I've never really had them, and peanut butter doesn't smell good to me. So a lot of people say it's sad, and that makes me feel like, oh, thank you. A lot of people also forget. Like, a nut allergy is a thing that people are very
prone to just forget about, even people you've known for much of your life. It's very strange. Somebody should do like a research paper on that. But anyway, my girlfriend at the time, when I was living in Brooklyn, this was probably 15 years ago, made me a veggie burger, which was very nice of her, but unfortunately it contained walnuts, as it said in very big letters on the packaging, as it turns out. And I ended up, I could tell right away, because with walnuts is a pretty bad one for me, so I could feel like a strange tingling in the back of my throat, which is the first sign. And then I just stopped eating it and tried to throw up, drank a lot of water, and felt okay. And I thought, oh, maybe I didn't eat enough of it. So then I went to CVS, which was like a little bit of a walk down the street. And I remember being in line at CVS, and my hands started to like get itchy, which is another bit of a sign of oncoming anaphylaxis, at least for me it is. And so then I was kind of rushing home as the anaphylaxis kind of took over. And then I started getting itchy hives all over my body, and my instinct was to get into the shower. So I got in the shower, and that didn't really help, of course. Why would it? Yeah, and then my breathing started to go bad. I started to like wheeze, and my throat started to close up. And so we called a taxi to take me and my girlfriend at the time to the hospital, which was right around the corner, fortunately. But the taxi driver didn't seem to know where the hospital was. So I'm like, you know, wheezing from the back seat, telling him where to go to get to the hospital. I'm not sure why my girlfriend didn't instruct him, but whatever. By the time, it was a Sunday night, I remember that. And by the time we got to the emergency room, like, I was like turning like purple, apparently, because I just couldn't breathe. Like I was like started kind of stumbled into the emergency room, gasping for breath. And the woman behind the counter was on the phone, and she sees me walk in, and she sees what state I'm in, and like holds her finger up like just 1 second. So that was interesting. Anyway, ended up going into full anaphylactic shock, and they had me on like 2 IVs of epinephrine. And I was in the emergency room for like the whole night, which was awful because it's a Brooklyn emergency room and there's just like curtains around you. And the reason that I was in the emergency room all night because they didn't have enough rooms to put me in. But once I had enough of the epinephrine, I was kind of fine. And the doctor kept insisting that I should stay, you know, overnight. And I was like, I really feel okay. And I live right down the street, so I can always just come back. And he was kind of a dick. He was kind of like, well, if you do that, that's your decision, and I'm not going to sign off on that. And I'm like, all right, well, then I guess I should stay. I don't know. I'm also thinking about how much this is going to cost me. So finally, and this is where the jug comes in, because I was peeing in a jug the whole night because I couldn't really get up because I had IVs and stuff. I couldn't really get up to go to the bathroom, so I was just peeing in this jug. And nobody came to empty that jug. The jug just filled up as it went on and just sat there, like, on my bed or at the edge of my bed. This jug full of my urine. It was charming. Anyway, I was there all night. My girlfriend stayed, I think, all night or most of the night anyway. There was a TV, but you couldn't change the channel. And then at like 6 or 7 in the morning, they finally found me a room. And so I was transferred to a room, like an actual hospital room. And I remember the guy next to me, there was some discussion of him getting some sort of a crazy stent put in to drain fluid. I mean, it almost made me pass out listening to it. Quite disturbing. So then after about 2 hours in the room, then they release me. And I was pissed because I was like, I knew that I needed to, like, it was the whole thing was mishandled. I mean, they saved my life, so that's great. But then everything after the saving the life was not great. I don't know if I ever even got a bill because I wrote a very scathing, strongly worded letter about the treatment I'd gotten at this hospital. I think it was Brooklyn Presbyterian. And I was ready to go to like newspapers with the story because it was really like I'm leaving things out, but it was really pretty horrible treatment. And they never sent me a bill. I never got a single bill for it. Another part of that story is that at the time of this allergy attack, the girlfriend and I were not doing well in our relationship, which led me to believe that maybe she was trying to kill me. I don't really think that, but you know, it's funny. And also, when I got home, the box that the veggie burgers came in that said in big letters on the front contains walnuts was like shoved to the bottom of the garbage can, like she was destroying the evidence that she tried to kill me. Anyway, I'm not sure where I started with that story, but it ended there. So, oh, urine on the side of the road. That's right. Solid tangent, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I'm not in Kansas anymore. I'm in Missouri. Although you'd hardly know it looks exactly the same as Kansas. I'm about to hit 6,000 miles on this trip. 5999.8, 5999.9, and 6,000 miles. 6,000 motherfucking miles. I'm wowing myself. You don't have to wow yourself, but I'm wowing myself. Questions you may be asking yourself at this juncture. Are you tired of driving so much? Yes. Yes, I am tired of driving so much. Are you still enjoying driving this much? Yes, to a degree. Although the last 300-400 miles have been a bit of a slog, simply because there's not a whole lot of scenery. We're getting better. We're heading towards the Ozark region, so I think that's supposed to be, I mean, at least when I watched the show, it looked pretty, which I'm pretty sure was filmed in the Ozarks. So other questions you may be asking yourself at this juncture, is your back starting to hurt from all the driving? It is a little bit, yes. The Samsonite pillow that I have been using, the lumbar support, it does help quite a bit because I'm certain that my back would be hurting much, much worse had I not made this wonderful purchase of the Samsonite lumbar support pillow. However, yes, my back is starting to hurt.
I made it to Branson, Missouri. This place is something else. I always kind of had a weird curiosity about Branson, Missouri, but I did not expect it to be this kind of, it's like a giant Niagara Falls in a way, but instead of the Niagara Falls, there's just like the Ozarks, lots of caves, lots and lots of random tourist attractions. Yakov Smirnov has a comedy club here. Unfortunately, there is no show until tomorrow night. Who knew Yakov Smirnov was still performing? I didn't even know he was still alive. In Soviet Russia, internet logs on to you. I mean, I wonder what jokes he's doing now. He can't be doing the Soviet Russia jokes anymore. Is he doing current Russia jokes? I'm super curious about that. Fortunately, the hotel is very nice. And it was, I think, $60. So it's a welcome change from the debauchery of that hotel last night. I even have two beds. So hooray. This is definitely Trump country, as indicated by most of the bumper stickers that I saw. And of course, that there's a literal Trump store, which, again, I don't remember there ever being like a Obama store or a Biden store or a Clinton store. Strange political times we are living in right now. How do you describe Branson, Missouri?
Branson, Missouri has some odd and quirky features. It has more theater seats than Broadway in New York City. It hosts the world's largest rooster, a 43-foot-tall fiberglass statue wearing a bow tie and a star-spangled vest. The showboat Branson Bell, a riverboat on a landlocked lake, was launched using banana lubrication. Also, the Branson Cross near Walnut Shade is 218 feet tall, one of the largest crosses in North America.
It's got a very strong Niagara Falls vibe, a less strong Las Vegas vibe, lots of weed stores. And again, I've seen so many weed stores all over this country, and I don't understand how they all support themselves. Don't get me wrong, I like weed, but like there's literally a store right next door to the hotel I'm staying in. And then there's one right up the street. And it's like, how many weed stores do we need, America? Do we really need this many? I mean, maybe we do. Now that I think about it, actually, maybe we do. Also, a staggering amount of miniature golf courses here. I think I've counted 5 or 6, and I haven't even seen most of the city. The street my hotel is on, there's 2 alone. There was one next to the restaurant I ate at. I don't know what that's about. Of course, lots of live entertainment. I don't know how good it is because I'm not going to go see any of it. I'm a little bummed that it's the last night of my trip, but I'm also ready to be back. I'm also ready for the next thing in my life, the next phase, trying to figure out how to make money on my own terms, or at least as close to my own terms as I can. Good morning. It is the final day of my road trip. No, Jeff, don't. I'm going to go to breakfast at the hotel here. There's a free breakfast. And then I'm going to
do some quick sightseeing around Branson, and then I'm going to drive 10 hours back to Columbus, Ohio. I'm in a good mood, I think, because I think I'm ready to be back in my house. I'm also feeling like worn down, so it'll be nice to just kind of not do anything much for a day or two, even though I have a ton to do when I get back. Okay, I'm off to take a look at, uh-oh, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? Is that just a weekly, is that their tornado siren test? It's 10:03, that doesn't seem right. Or perhaps that's the siren telling me to start going home.
I'm at the Trump store in Branson, Missouri, and it is something else indeed. I've never seen so many Trump things in my entire life. There's an animatronic Trump out front. Many, many hats. One of the hats said, "I'll be voting for Barron." That's fun. Another one said, "Gulf of America." And another one just said, "Titties," but in a red, white, and like an American flag font. Like, not a font, but like it's a American flag vibe. So I guess it's okay to say titties. I really want to interview the guy who's the purveyor of the store, but I also don't want to do that. All right, so I just went to the Jesus store. I think it's called Everything Jesus. And honestly, the similarities between that and the Trump store are striking. The vibe is strikingly similar. So that's fun. And I think that means that it's time to leave Branson, Missouri. Trump store, Jesus store, go home. Anyway, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So there is actually two Trump stores in Branson, Missouri. The second one I saw was actually a Trump outlet store, which I'm not sure if that just means that there's like discounted Trump merchandise or if that's just, you know, marketing. They also sell guns and knives. So that's convenient. You can buy a Trump shirt and some weapons all in the same go. One-stop shopping. Guns, knives, Trump. Hooray. Time for me to get out of Missouri, I think. I think that's what that means. Driving out of Branson still, and we just entered Christian County. So it's all part of a brand, really. I am in Uranus, Missouri. I don't know if this is an incorporated town or not, but it's one of these weird roadside places which is really leaning into the Uranus joke. Like, every single fucking thing in the town is a Uranus joke. Uranus Fudge Factory, Uranus City Jail. They're selling hot dogs to go in Uranus. I got a sticker and a magnet, as I always do. I couldn't find any bathrooms, kind of ironically, because it is Uranus, Missouri. Every time you walk into the main fudge factory, everybody, all the employees yell, "Welcome to Uranus."
Welcome to Uranus!
And then when you walk up to actually buy fudge, which I didn't do, but they say, so, you know, it's just one giant joke, this place. But it's charming in its own little way, and it's on Route 66, which I guess is what makes it even weirder or charming or whatever. So I guess this is the second or third time I've been on Route 66 on this trip. And this may be my last, like, sightseeing spot before I leave. So thank you, Uranus, or my anus, or someone's anus. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I'm starving and I have to pee. So I was hoping there'd be more food in Uranus, but there's not.
I'm out of Uranus. Back on the road.
I'm in Indiana once again. And, yeah, I've got about 5 hours to go. And, yeah, I mean, this is definitely a prettier and easier drive. It's a much less trafficked route, I think, than 70. And so that's been nice. It's been very, very easy driving for the most part. Very few cars on this road. Looks like I'm going to get in, if I keep going at this rate, a little before 11 p.m. And I am 126 miles from Louisville, Kentucky. I was in Louisville about 2 or 3 years ago with my girlfriend and her daughters. It was a fun trip, actually. We were going there for some field hockey thing for her older daughter. And we got an Airbnb, wandered around Louisville. Went to the Louisville Mega Cavern, which is one of the most highly touted attractions in Louisville, according to TripAdvisor. And it's an abandoned limestone mine. It's not a cavern or a cave. Although the first thing they told us on the tour
was that the difference between a cavern and a cave was that a cavern was man-made, which is totally not true, and which is something that I made sure to mention in my strongly worded review of our experience. I mean, it was kind of neat, but, like, it was no cavern. It was an abandoned limestone mine. Giant old mine, huge mine. Don't get me wrong. And there were cool lights and stuff and, like, some exhibits, but, like, it was not a mega cavern. It was a mega abandoned limestone mine. So if anybody's thinking about going to Louisville, I would either, if you're into limestone mines and abandoned ones, I would go to that. But if you're into caverns, I would steer clear. Indiana seems like a very boring state to me. There's not a lot happening in Indiana. I know a lot of people shit on Ohio, but, like, have you been to Indiana? Have you been to Kansas? All right. I think Ohio is an easy target because it's more populous, and so everybody kind of knows people from Ohio. But I think if you really dig in, you'd see that Indiana and Kansas and Iowa and places like this are far worse in terms of places you would not want to live and or drive through. This trip is going out with a whimper and not a whatever. Yeah.
In the truck stop that I just got gas at, they were playing like a sad song. It must have been Love, but it's over now. I think it's by Roxette. And I was going to buy something in there, but the song was making me sad and nostalgic, so I left. It was like the most weirdly appropriate song for the end of my trip. I don't know why. At least it wasn't Crowded House, Don't Dream It's Over, because that would have killed me. It's all about how you frame it, right? Like, it's not the end of a trip. It's the beginning of another sort of trip, right? In this long series of trips that is our life. So in that sense, I am ready for the next trip, and then the trip after that, and the trip after that, and the trip after that. Okay, here we go. I am now in Kentucky. I am in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville, Kentucky. And yes, I guess one more state to go. And as the billboard says, obey Jesus' teachings. So much Jesus on this trip. That's been a common thread. I guess that's a common thread everywhere, as it turns out. And I am back in Ohio. I just got through Cincinnati. A little bit chaotic there. But only about an hour and a half from my house. I have not gotten anything to eat, but I remembered I think I still have some, like, noodles or something I can whip up or something when I get there. Because, frankly, at this point, I just kind of want to get there. The idea of stopping again feels counterproductive. This feels familiar now. I'm like, okay, this is Ohio. It's not. There's no, well, whatever. I'm trying to decide if there's an emotion attached to the fact that I am back in familiar territory again, but there really isn't. I've been on a long journey, and now I'm returning to the homeland, at least for now. But it's a very big world, and there are many more places that I want to see. So I'm hoping that I can manifest more travel in my near future. I am in the home stretch, as it were. I am about 1 hour from my house, and I am tired. Officially tired, but there's not a lot of traffic, it being fairly late at night, and it's actually quite pretty. There's like some thin wispy clouds over the highway, and then there's the moon kind of peeking through, about three quarters full. Very pretty. I want to express gratitude to my car, Clicky McGee. It's a long story. I know it's not the best name for a car, but it is the name of my car. For, again, knock on wood, for surviving for these 6,000 plus miles with only one major issue, and that is the entire bottom falling off. But, you know, we can't all be perfect. I'd like to express gratitude towards the weather in Columbus right now, which is only a cool 66 degrees. Or not in Columbus yet, I'm in Ohio, but it's probably about the same in Columbus as it is here.
I'd like to express gratitude for police departments all over the country for not pulling me over when I was speeding. I'd like to express gratitude to the universe for, I don't know, inspiring me to do this trip, allowing me to do this trip, helping me on this trip, guiding me on this trip, and returning me back safely. I am hoping to be able to take the perspective I've gained on this trip back into my quote-unquote real life, whatever that is, when I get back. And I want to express gratitude for my own bed, which I will sleep in tonight for the first time in 50 nights. And I want to express gratitude to everybody who gave me a place to stay, fed me, gave me a hug, took me to amazing places, all those things on this trip. It would not have been the same at all without my friends and family. And to all the strangers that I met, who will probably never listen to this podcast, thank you as well. It was good to meet you all.
And I am home. I just pulled up to my house. It's 11 o'clock at night. Total mileage, 6,852.8 miles. I'm starving and I gotta take a piss.
And eat and piss I did. Did. If you'd like some travel tips, or have any questions or comments or complaints about the amount of potty talk in this episode, you can email them to me at 1fjeffpod@gmail.com. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at 1fjeffpod. And yes, I did just say potty talk. I hope you enjoyed listening to this and all of the road trip episodes as much as I enjoyed making them. And that maybe they inspired you to take an adventure of some sort of your own, to get out of your comfort zone, to use this precious time we have to do something you've always wanted to do. It's not as hard as you think. And if you did enjoy this episode, please just take a moment to go into whatever podcast platform you're using to write a nice review. It'll make us both feel better, I promise. I probably wouldn't have taken this trip if not for this podcast and the fact that you chose to listen to me as I rambled my way across the country. It means a whole lot. So thank you for coming. I'm glad you were here. Now go start planning a trip of your own, because this is it.
Very good, Jeffrey.